We'll begin our discussion with the advent of Lord Krishna, because we visited Krishna's Janmasthan. Krishna chose to make his appearance in Mathura city. Actually, the whole district, not only now but also then, the district of Mathura represents the place of Krishna's advent and Krishna's Janma and Leela. As we know, Janma Karma Chime Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. But more specifically, Krishna was born in Mathura. When we walked into the little presentation of Krishna's birthplace, the prison house of Kamsa, it looked a little too convenient to just to be able to walk through one door and see Yogamaya walk through another door. Oh, there's Krishna's prison house, and then walk through the other door and you're on your way to the temple. A little different, I imagine, it actually looked like, but we saw a deity of Yogamaya. You saw? It looked to me like Durga. So many weapons, because Yogamaya acts in two ways. She assists the devotees and assists Krishna in loving exchanges with one another. And Yogamaya, through her expansion, Yogamaya Samavrata, through Yogamaya's expansion, she acts to cover the living entities who are averse to Krishna, who are against Krishna. One potency, just like Prabhupada gives the example of electricity, by manipulation of electricity, an electrician can make one energy make something hot, one energy, same energy, make something cold. One energy. So, Yogamaya acts directly, so we say Swarup Shakti, the Lord's own internal potency. Yogamaya acts to allow loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees happen very naturally, where they don't even recognize that he's Krishna. That's how we normally think of what Yogamaya does. In this case, Yogamaya was given direct assignment by Krishna to transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. That was one Yogamaya activity. Then Yogamaya was given the service of appearing as the daughter of Yashoda. And then to be carried by Krishna back on the other side of the Jamuna River to Mathura and appear as if she was the daughter of Devaki. And then to appear as Durga, and known by so many names throughout the land according to different geographic conceptions of her. So you noticed above Yogamaya there was a depiction of Durga, and below Durga was Yogamaya. I don't think it was so bona fide yoga maya with bow and arrow and club and weapons. The pujari just smiled and gave me one of those and said, "So many potencies." So Krishna made his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa. Just above the prison house scene, there was the a depiction in the lower left of the guards who had fallen asleep by the influence of Yoga Maya. And the prison house doors had opened by the influence of Yoga Maya. We saw Vasudev carrying Krishna with some demigods here and some demigods here offering their prayers to Krishna. And Krishna being placed by Vasudev in the home of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, so that Krishna made his appearance in this way. That pastime is very much related to this Akura Ghat pastime, which I will explain when we get there. So Krishna stayed in Gokul. We visited Gokul Mahavan for 3 years and 4 months, after which time Nanda and Jasoda decided, too many problems with demons over here. Maybe we should go back on the other side of the Jamuna River. And so they loaded up all their possessions on bullock carts and went from Mathura to Vrindavan town, and then after some time, a few other places, they returned to their ancestral home at Nandagram. Krishna reached Nandagram when he was about 6 years and 8 months, almost 7 years old. And when he was 12 years old, plus a little bit, that's when he was brought from Nandagram to Mathura. I would very much like to orchestrate a parikrama where we start in the birth of Krishna, go to Vrindavan, go to Nandagram, and follow the path that Krishna went from Nandagram here to Akura Ghat. So, Narada Muni made a visit to Kamsa's palace twice. One time was just after the birth of the first child of Devaki. "Kamsa," he said, "I've just been visiting on the heavenly planets. And you should know that they had a big demigod conference. And they were discussing how they're all going to be taking their birth here on earth to assist the personality of Godhead Vishnu, who, by the way, killed you in your last life. And very soon, that personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, will be making his appearance here sometime soon. And who knows this first child of Devaki? The Vishnu is very tricky. He said the eighth child, or the voice said the eighth child, but who knows which one of these children might be Vishnu? Kamsa, you're very smart. Do the needful. Kamsa was very grateful. Oh, Naradaji, you're so kind to me. Thank you very much. Guards, come and kill all children born in the last 10 days anywhere in my kingdom. Wicked Kamsa. Narada visited for a second time, and this was after the 7th pregnancy of Devaki, before the advent of... No. Just after the... After the Yogamaya became Durga incident, the 8th child of Devaki, Narada visited again to Kamsa's palace. Each time, although Kamsa was a wicked demon, he was a follower of certain parts of Vedic culture, and he received Narada very nicely. So just as Durga had said to Kamsa, the 8th child of Devaki, that supreme personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, who is the source of everything, who killed you in his previous lifetime, has already taken birth elsewhere, and he will kill you. So don't harm Vasudeva and Devaki any further. So, Narada said essentially the same thing. This child that is destined to be your destruction has already taken birth in Gokul. Kamsa had his idea, but now the sage Narada is confirming. Kamsa, you have great strength, great military power, great resources. Kamsa, better you protect your backside. Do something quickly. So this is when Kamsa made his twofold plan. The mind of a demon works very swiftly. He sent the last two of the demons that he had in his demon treasury to try to kill Krishna. And if that failed, he had plan B. His plan B was exactly what he told Akrura. He invited Akrura to come see him in his royal chamber. Now, who was Akrura? What was Akrura doing in the service of Kamsa? Akrura was the son of Swapalka. Swapalka was a member of the Yadu dynasty. When Kamsa imprisoned his father, Kamsa is such a demon, he put his father in prison, although his father was king, Ugrasena. He imprisoned his father and assumed authority over the government. So those who were members of the Yadu dynasty, who were actually the ruling family, that they did either one of two things. They fled for their life because this crazy Kamsa could do anything at any time to anybody just by his little whim. He could destroy all of us. So they left. They fled for their lives. Some of them chose to stay because they're part of the royal family and they then had to submit to the rule of Kamsa and the whim of Kamsa and the desire of Kamsa. Akura was one such person. Akura, very much like Vasudev, had a very particular capacity. Some Kshatriyas are very warrior-like. Some Kshatriyas are more minister-like. They understand the ways of ruling, and they're much more intelligent, and they work with their brain more than they work with their physical prowess. It was on this strength that Vasudev was able to convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki, because he was in this more intellectual, ministerial-like capacity within the royal family. Akura was of similar disposition. If you look at the lineage, how Akura falls in line with Kamsa, Akura is actually several generations older than Kamsa, than even Ugrasena. So Akuraji, it was very, very old and very, very wise and very expert as a minister of state. For this reason, Kamsa selected Akura to go on this very important mission. Being the diplomat that he was, Kamsa sat Akura down and said, "Akuraji, you're the most wise and most learned and most accomplished minister in my entire kingdom. I have a very important mission for you. I want to kill Krishna. I want to bring..." He disclosed the whole plan. "I want to bring Krishna here on the plea or the guise of having a big bow festival. I will offer that whoever can string the bow will win some special prize, and that will be the centerpiece of our festival here in Mathura City." "But I've also heard of the prowess of Krishna as a great wrestler, and so I would like to see him wrestle Chanura and Mushtika, my personal court entourage. I also wrestle with them just for my sparring purposes, and surely they will kill Krishna." "But even before they get to Chanura and Mushtika, my elephant Kuvalyapida will destroy Krishna first." "This is my plan, Akuraji, and you're just the man to help me accomplish this. Please say yes, or you may die if you say no." Akura was very blunt with Kamsa. Akura said, "My dear Kamsa, you are inviting your own death. I would like you to know that Krishna is not just an ordinary boy, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You invite him here on some pretext like this, and you are inviting your own death for sure." "But I am your minister, and I'm happy to do this particular service." Akura was thinking, This is Krishna's mercy. This is exactly why I stayed in Kamsa's service, because I felt, although Krishna is my worshipable Lord, I've never actually seen him. If I stay, I'll get the opportunity to somehow see the Lord of my life. And now Krishna very kindly is fulfilling that opportunity. So Kamsa said, I have a brand new golden chariot waiting for you. Like encouraging somebody, a brand new something or other, BMW, Mercedes, just no one has driven it before, just so you can go get Krishna. The finest of my horses in all of my kingdom, they will be ready to take you first thing in the morning. Now Kamsa was feeling very confident. He sent for his last two demons, go at once to Vrindavan and destroy Krishna. Prepare the chariot for Akrura for tomorrow morning. So Akrura left the very next morning. He left from Mathura to go to Nandagram. Now, we visited in Mathura and we visited in Nandagram, and maybe some of you have had this experience of taking the train from Mathura to Vrindavan town, or taking a kanga from Mathura train station to Vrindavan town, which is something similar. And it doesn't take an entire day. It takes a couple of hours, an hour and a half, to a couple of hours maximum. But Akrura spent the entire day traveling with fine horses and a golden chariot, brand new. Took him all day long to get to Nandagram. And our acharyas explain this is because he was in such a state of ecstasy, in absorption of thought of meeting Krishna, that he was not even aware of where he was or who he was or day or night or where's the road and where's not the road. The horses were just going and Akuraji was just going along for the ride. He didn't reach Nandagram until the evening, near nightfall. Prabhupada describes in Nectar of Devotion that of the nine processes of devotional service, Akrura achieved spiritual perfection through one of those nine processes. Specifically, this journey from Mathura to Nandagram, he was offering beautiful, beautiful prayers, vandanam. In the course of these beautiful prayers, Akrura was absorbing his mind in thought, because this is what prayer can do. His mind was absorbed in thought of the object of the prayer, who Krishna actually is. There's the whole chapter, chapter 30 of the 10th canto, is describing the prayers of Akrura as he's traveling on his chariot. Who the personality of Godhead is, what his beautiful form would look like, what his feelings would be, what he would say to Krishna, how Krishna would respond to him. His mind was just in this sambhog, anticipation of meeting with Krishna. When he reached Nandagram, it was in the evening, around the time of milking cows. You all visited Terakadamba? The Goshal of Nanda Maharaj was somewhere in that area. So picture in your mind, you walk through the field from Yavat to Terakadamba, and Terakadamba to Sheshavan, and Sheshavan to Nandagram. So picture in your mind, walking through the fields, not the agricultural fields that you saw, but lush fields where there are forests and cows and pasturing lands. And your Akrura on this chariot absorbed in thought of seeing Krishna. And to such an extent of absorption that when Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna in the soft sand of Vrindavan, marked with the symbols of the personality of Godhead, very clearly marked at the bottoms of the soles of his feet, Akrura, overwhelmed with ecstasy, fell out of the chariot and began rolling in the ground, touching the dust where Krishna had walked, and in a mood of ecstasy, offering further prayers to Krishna. There are many artistic paintings of that scene of Akrura's ecstasy falling onto the ground from his chariot. As he looked up, he saw Krishna and Balaram standing in the pasturing ground together. Akrura was in ecstasy. He started running to greet Krishna and Balaram because Akrura has a very interesting combination of relationships or rasa. He has Vatsalya rasa as a parent towards Krishna, but he also has a very significant mood of dasya or servitude disposition towards Krishna. So he dove and he fell at Krishna's feet and looked up at Krishna and Balaram with great happiness. Krishna, on the other hand, by matter of etiquette, saw Akrura as his superior. See, certainly by age, he's his superior. And so he lifted Akrura up and began practically worshipping Akrura with his words and his behaviors. Our acharyas describe, to give peacefulness to Akrura's heart, to Akrura's heart, Krishna lifted his right hand in the mudra of abhay, of fearlessness. And on the hand of Krishna is a chakra. And the chakra on the hand of Krishna was to indicate silently to Kamsa, don't worry, very soon Kamsa will be killed. Kamsa had been fasting the entire day. And Krishna made an invitation to Akrura. Excuse me, I said Kamsa. Akrura had been fasting the whole day. Akrura was invited by Krishna to come to the house of Nanda Maharaj and receive his meal. Nanda was very happy to hear of the news of all of his relatives who were living in Mathura city. And without disclosing Kamsa's plan to kill Krishna, he disclosed that he was dispatched by Kamsa to invite Krishna and Balaram to personally take part in the bow festival that he was planning. And after consideration, Nanda Maharaj agreed. Now the scene that follows has many, many, many different descriptions of how intense this leaving the next morning, the plan was that Nanda would go separately because it was around the time for him to pay a visit to the Mathura city and take care of his taxes. And Krishna and Balaram would be driven on Akura's chariot back to Mathura city. Now just the opposite of the sambhog experience, the meeting experience that Akura had just had, now we have the most intense manifestation of Vipralamba, the anticipation of separation, because news had spread. Who is this person who has come? It's Akura. He's a relative of the Yadu dynasty, and he's come to take Krishna from Vrindavan. It was unbelievable news, and for those who are in Vrindavan, Krishna was their life and soul. The idea of Krishna not being in Vrindavan was like a death notice. And so nobody in all of Braja was able to sleep that night with great anxiety and anticipation of Krishna's departure. Nanda Maharaj had gone to Mother Jasoda and asked for Mother Jasoda's consent to send Krishna with Akura. Imagine Mother Jasoda and her response. She was, the thought of Krishna leaving to go to Mathura city was equally unthinkable as it was for anybody else in Vrindavan. But Mother Jasoda was so devoted to her husband that she couldn't say no. So with very sparing words, with deep anxiety in her heart, she said, whatever it is that you decide, then Krishna can go if you wish. So this was Nanda Maharaj's apparent intent to have Krishna go. So Akura made all the preparations for Krishna's departure. One of the most beautiful descriptions, which differs a little bit from the Bhagavatam's description, is what's found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatan Goswami. There it's described that when Krishna was getting ready in the morning, Mother Jasoda was getting Krishna ready, as she had always gotten Krishna ready to go out and take care of the cows for the day's activities of cow herding. She brought Krishna and placed Krishna's hand in Akura's hand and said, now you must take care of him. And turned to Nanda Maharaj and said, you have made your promise that Krishna will return. So her consent was dependent upon that promise that Krishna will return. Brihat Bhagavatamrita describes that as before Krishna got on the chariot, there was all this very strong opposition from the elders of Vrindavan to Nanda and Jasoda. How can you let this happen? How is this possible? You can't allow Krishna to go to Mathura. So Sanatana Goswami describes that while there was this delay, Krishna saw the gopis in a nearby grove, and knowing what was the feeling within their heart, he snuck away and had pastimes with them in the grove just to satisfy their heart's desire. Meanwhile, Akrura was very concerned he might lose control of the situation. So he very quickly and very adeptly moved to get Krishna to come and get back on the chariot and Balaram on the chariot and let's get things going. And the gopis were crying and wailing shamelessly because previously the gopis would hide their affection for Krishna, but in this circumstance they didn't hide their feelings for Krishna at all. They were crying out loud and screaming and wailing and demonstrating that their unlimited affection for Krishna before the vision and understanding of everyone in the whole of Vraja. They were pleading with Krishna, please don't go. Your going is like losing our life. So Krishna made his promise. I will come back within a day or two. And Akrura quickly made the horses charge away for fear that he might lose the whole situation. The gopis were placing their bodies in front of the chariot, feeling, if we can't stop Krishna's leaving, better we give up our life. But Akrura was very expert in chariot driving, and he weaved his way this way and that way through all the gopis and made his way along the path of the river Jamuna, heading for Mathura. Now, the path of the river Jamuna, just like the path of the Ganges, moves from time to time over passage of time. And according to the ancient texts, the river Jamuna flowed right by this place where we are now, and that's for that reason it was called Akrura Ghat. Called Akrura Ghat because that's where Akrura bathed in the river Jamuna. The situation was that Krishna requested Akrura, he would like to stop, have him stop the chariot, so that before entering into Mathura, he could first take his bath in the river Jamuna along with Balaram. You all know this pastime. Krishna and Balaram bathed. They came back to the chariot. Once they mounted again in the chariot, they then were received a petition from Akrura, may I also have your permission to take my bath before we go to Mathura city? Krishna confirmed. Akrura went to take his bath down the bank of the river. When he went into the river, there he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river. And he was very astonished. So he went back up the bank of the river and looked in the chariot, and there he saw Krishna and Balaram sitting in the chariot. And he wondered, "What am I seeing things?" So he quickly went back down into the river Jamuna, and this time instead of seeing Krishna and Balaram in the river, what he saw was Lord Vishnu in his four-armed form as Vasudev, reclining on Anantashesh. It's surrounded by all the demigods who are singing hymns of praise, very much like the depiction that we saw in the birthplace of Krishna, where all the demigods are surrounding Vasudev Krishna in the house of, or the prison cell of Kamsa. Same scene. Anantashesh is an expansion of Balaram, and Vasudev Krishna is an expansion of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Although they are the same personalities, one is the energetic source or the original personality of Godhead. The others are expansions of those. We have heard that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. You've heard that before? Well, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and it's true. Krishna eternally resides in Vrindavan, and from time to time, he performs pastimes for his appearance. His form of Vasudev Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. The same Vasudev Krishna assumed a childlike form and was carried by Vasudev across the river Jamuna to Gokul. And when Vasudev Krishna fell into the river Jamuna, it was Swayam Bhagavan Krishna who was picked up. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that the form of Krishna that was being carried by Vasudev merged with that form of Krishna who appeared as one of the twins of Mother Jasoda, and it was that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna who became the foster child of Mother Jasoda. Now when Krishna was being taken by Akura on his chariot, Krishna remained in Vrindavan, and it was Vasudev Krishna who went to Mathura city. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So where was Krishna to be found once Akura's chariot had taken Vasudev Krishna to Mathura? Where was Krishna? Where was Swayam Bhagavan Krishna? The answer is, he hid himself within the hearts of all the residents of Braja. So that they would experience the feelings of separation, but at the same time feel a very strong sense of an internal relationship with Krishna. Do you remember what Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained when we were at Prem Sarovar? About the intimacy of love and separation? When there's love in meeting, then there's a very strong sense of relationship in terms of dealings with one another in an external way. But when there's love and separation, then there's this feeling of the relationship being very internal. And that is even more intimate, more confidential, and more strong. Do you remember that discussion? So, this is what happened when Krishna didn't leave Vrindavan. Krishna entered into the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan, and because of his being in the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan, he certainly knew very well their feelings of separation from him. So why didn't, if Krishna knew how much pain in separation the residents of Vrindavan were feeling, why he didn't return? We discussed this, at least Sanatana Goswami has explained it in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. We discussed this the other day. So this place that we're visiting, Akura Ghat, the place where Akura took bath before leaving Vrindavan, this particular location was the juncture of Vrindavan town and Mathura city. So this pastime represents the feelings of the separation of the gopis, and Akura being the instrument of that event. How do you think the gopis felt towards Akura? The gopis, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, cursed Akura. The gopis said that just as we have had to feel the pain of separation from Krishna because of you, you also are going to have to feel the pain of separation from Krishna. And this happened later on in Dwaraka in relation to the Shamantaka jewel incident. You know the Shamantaka jewel story from the Bhagavatam? That's a long story. Skipping many previous events, Akura became the possessor of the Shamantaka jewel. He had to leave Dwaraka, which was the residence of Krishna, because for fear of his life, because it was thought that the person who had the Shamantaka jewel was the murderer of Krishna's father-in-law, Satrajit, the father of Satyabhama. Was Satrajit, and he is the one who had the Shamantaka jewel. When Krishna and Balaram had gone from Dwaraka to Hastinapur to attend the so-called funeral of the Pandavas after the house of Lak, and everyone thought, except Krishna and Balaram, that they had been killed, and also Vidura knew that they hadn't been killed, Krishna went to take part in the funeral ceremony of the Pandavas, and they were absent from Dwaraka. While they were absent from Dwaraka, there was a plan to kill Satrajit, and the Shamantaka jewel was taken, and many things happened. Akura ended up with the Shamantaka jewel. When Krishna came back to find out who was the murderer of Satrajit, Akura left. The lesson is, don't offend the gopis. you might find yourself in a big mess. The whole of Krishna's pastimes are involved with loving exchanges with his devotees, strong component of loving exchange is anticipation of meeting, enjoying pastimes together for some time, and then separation. Each of these features, anticipation, meeting, enjoying pastimes, anticipation of separation, then separation, each of them are varieties of mellows of love in a perfect form in relation to the personality of Godhead. I'm going to narrate one more pastime as the finale of our visit here in Vrindavan that exemplifies the point I just made. As we were coming down the road to Akuragat, you could probably see over to your left, and when you go out, you can see, or from this corner up here, you can see there's a little hill or big hill, and up on top of that hill is a temple, a big, large white temple. That's the place where the wives of the yogic brahmanas came to meet Krishna to offer food to Krishna. In that pastime, Krishna is demonstrating two primary things. And many other things also. One of those things is the uselessness of the high qualification of one who is a brahmana if one does not, in that position, high qualification position, doesn't understand the purpose of all of those high qualifications, namely the purpose is to satisfy the personality of Godhead Krishna. Failing to understand that purpose, one's heart becomes filled with pride about the opulence that one has because of some material elevation. The second thing is that one may not have any apparently great material qualification, but if one has a very simple, sincere, pure desire to please and to serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with that desire in such a wonderful transcendental way as he did with the yogic brahmana's wives. So the scene opens with the cowherd boys indicating to Krishna, "Rama, Krishna, we're hungry. We're so hungry. We want something to eat. Please give us some idea. What can we do to satisfy our hunger?" In a very knowing manner, Krishna smiled and indicated that, "Please go to the place where the brahmanas, yagyic brahmanas, are performing a big yagya, and they have so many items, so much ghee, so much milk products, so much grains. In using my name," very important, "using my name, please invite them to be so kind to offer something from their items of sacrifice Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj, and all their yogic brahmanas, it's not that the cowherd boys were going to ask something for themselves, like we have so much experience here in Braja, and since we got here. Baba, Baba. So, they were asking in name of Krishna and Balaram. And what is the purpose of all sacrifice? Bhoktaram yagatapasam. The purpose of all sacrifices is to satisfy Vishnu or Krishna. One who is a learned brahmana should know the purpose of all sacrifice is to satisfy Vishnu. Here is Krishna asking for something that they're preparing to offer with his hands outstretched. Do you properly understand the purpose of the sacrifice that you're making? The brahmanas were proud. They were so absorbed in themselves, not exactly even what they were doing, but their sense of self-importance. They did not even turn their heads to acknowledge the presence of the cowherd boys or speak anything looking the other way. They just continued on with their yajna as if the cowherd boys weren't even there. Very rude. Now, the cowherd boys were very disappointed. They came back and unhappy and embarrassed and ashamed. They explained what had happened. And Krishna and Balaram, knowingly, they knew that this would happen even before it happened, because they wanted to demonstrate. This is what happens when pride is in the heart. There's no acknowledgement of really what the purpose of sacrifice is. So then, go to the same wives of those brahmanas. They're at their homes, and make the same request of them. Not only the wives of yajnic brahmanas were absent pride, and their hearts, in fact, were quite simple. Prabhupada has described that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. Their hearts were very simple. Immediately, they made preparations, one by one, each of the wives carrying something to come, and they wanted to directly bring it to where Krishna was and offer it to him. And they came and offered everything directly with their own hand, with shyness, but great happiness at the same time. And then Krishna addressed them, saying, "Oh, greatly fortunate ones, you have pleased me very much by your service. Now you should go back home." Our acharyas comment, the words that Krishna spoke were almost word by word identical with what Krishna said to the gopis when he called them in the dead of the night playing upon his vamsi to come and enjoy rasa dance. So this is a different kind of madhurya rasa, but at the same time the mood is, according to their position, similar in nature. And they spoke words in response to what Krishna said that were almost identical with the words that the gopis said to Krishna. They said, "Stop teasing us in this way." "We've broken all social convention. Our husbands will not allow us back in their home again. We have not taken permission from our husband to go out of the home in their absence, and go see others. We are acting outside of the proper codes of our Brahmani Dharma. And our family members, our husbands, everyone is going to reject us for what we have done. Please don't send us back there. Actually, all we want to do is just be with you. And if you say we can't be with you because we're Brahmanas and you're Vaishyas, then we'll just tag along behind you. And when you discard your Tulsi garlands and strew them here and there, we'll pick them up and wear them as our worshipable ornaments. Please allow us to stay in the forest with you. Very amazing statement by the wives of the Brahmanis. Krishna's response at this point was different than with the gopis. Krishna was firm and said, "You must go back." I have fulfilled your heart's desire, because they were just like so many others who had never met Krishna, but they had seen, they had heard of Krishna. Like Rukmini, she never had seen Krishna, but just by hearing about Krishna, what happened? She gave her heart to Krishna. Same with the wives of the yogic brahmanas. They had never seen Krishna, but they had heard about Krishna. Because they would go to the marketplace to acquire something and they would hear Krishna looks like this, Krishna's pastimes are like this, Krishna's loving exchanges are like this, Krishna's glances are like this. They had developed complete, just from hearing, complete attachment to Krishna. So there was this sambhog, this anticipation of meeting. And then the opportunity to meet presented itself. The cowherd boys came in the name of Rama and Krishna to come bring items to offer to Krishna. So anticipation of meeting, coming to meet, meeting, anticipation of separation, separation. Like a chirgat, when we describe that pastime. Each devotee that has, from hearing about Krishna, notice that we're doing the same thing. We're hearing about Krishna. We're hearing about Krishna, and we're hearing about Krishna. Is something stirring in the heart? If something stirs in the heart, that's good, because then there's at least a desire, or a desire to have the desire, or a desire to have the desire to have the desire, something in there that says, I would like my relationship with Krishna to be directly experienced. This awakens through the process of hearing. And some concluding remarks about our whole yatra is this is why we have come to Vrindavan. We've come to Vrindavan in the month of Kartik. We've come to Vrindavan in the association of others who are in various trajectories of their spiritual life, trying to come closer to Krishna. So there's some like-mindedness, there's some similar purpose, and at the center is this wonderful light, and that's Krishna attracting our hearts and attracting our minds to come closer to Him. It's said that there are three most auspicious parts, spiritually auspicious parts of Vrindavan. And all three of them we've come in direct contact with. Govardhan Hill, River Jamuna, and the dust of Vrindavan. We've done our Govardhan Parikrama, and we also went to Radhakund Shamakund at the head of Govardhan Hill. And so we've had our darshan and our uplifting experience of being with Govardhan Hill. Practically every place we've been has been the dust of Vrindavan. But especially there was contact while walking through the dust around the Parikrama Marg at Govardhan Hill, or that nice, very, very nice transcendental walk from Yavat to Tirukkadamba and Tirukkadamba to Asheshvan and Asheshvan to Anandagram. Those walks that we did, or that at least you did that particular day, that's so auspicious, the contact with the dust of Vrindavan. And the River Jamuna. Several times we contacted directly the River Jamuna. We passed back and forth across the River Jamuna, had darshan of the River Jamuna, had been hearing about the River Jamuna. These three, you can hear about the pastimes of Krishna wherever you may live, but coming in direct contact with these three has enormous spiritual potency. We've taken drops of the Manasi Ganga upon our head, which, according to scripture, has thousands of times the purifying power of even the river Ganges, wherever it may flow in this world. We've had this opportunity to bring direct spiritual contact in a very strong and intense manner in the course of these 9 days that we've been here together in our Vrindavan Yatra. From the conversations I've had with different devotees, that impact is having its effect in different ways upon each and every individual. The important thing is not specifically the outcome. The important thing, more important, is the purification that we have exposed our contaminated hearts and souls to. Overall, when the heart becomes progressively, whatever distance we need to go to get to Krishna, we should be prepared to go through that distance. And that requires purity of heart. So by coming to the Holy Dham, by hearing, by bathing in the River Jamuna, by circumambulating Govardhan, by all the chanting of the holy name, all of these great and powerful transcendental events, I am certain that we've all made some very substantial spiritual progress. Let us pray that our attraction for Krishna, or specifically our relationship with Krishna, becomes, as a result of this purification, more and more strong and focused upon that meeting with Krishna, or loving exchange with Krishna, or the mood of trying to serve Krishna in a genuine, sincere, and humble way. Let us dedicate the fruits, just like the Brahmana in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, after he performed this wonderful offering of Abhishek and Arati and distribution of Prasad and a grand festival and worship of his Shalagram Shila. At the end, he faced Shalagram Shila and offered the prayer that if there is some benefit that has come to me through the performance of this festival on your behalf, let my heart become more pure and that the benefit be distributed to all persons of this world. Let our hearts become better instruments for the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is twofold: to receive that gift of love of God which he wished to give to the world, and to assist others, to do some kind of service, whatever we can do, to make some arrangements so that others can also receive this divine mercy of love of God that Lord Chaitanya wishes to bring into the world. Let us dedicate this, whatever success has come, to that purpose. Shri Vrindavan Parikrama ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai. Shri Radha Shama Sundara ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.